Hello and welcome to another episode of the award-winning podcast, The Square and the Round. Chris Kelly here. I'm square. There's BB Shea.
What's
He's
going
round.
On?
Have you eaten today?
I did. I ate. It took me a while to make up my mind, but I finally did it. Yeah.
If you don't know BB Shea's journey, he's gone to intermittent fasting, which means he eats one day, but not the next. But
Correct.
You also ate yesterday.
Yeah.
So you've decided, are you off your schedule now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still trying to figure that out.
Did this have anything to do with the recent report that intermittent fasting causes heart attacks?
Why? I just read that, and of course it does. Why? If that makes sense to me, you know, anything that's healthy or seems healthy is supposed to kill you, right?
Why? How is that the case?
It makes no sense to me.
Like, when you eat, what does it do? It, you know, I read the whole report, and it said that, like, you have a 91% higher chance of having some sort of cardiovascular episode if you are intermittent fasting. And they were talking about, like, and a lot of people do this, eating for 8 hours a day, like, between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., and not, or back and forth every other day like you do. But I couldn't get into the nuts and bolts of why. What stress does that put on the heart?
I don't know about that either. I know, like, because I've done the intermittent where I only eat between 9 and 5.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing the alternate day where I eat one day and then don't eat the next day.
Yeah.
I really didn't read the report, honestly. I probably should have done that. But I just saw the headline where intermittent fasting is going to kill you. So.
But you have read the report. They didn't say why. You know, they said that they studied people and that, yes, it put more stress on the heart. But I couldn't figure out what did that. That didn't make any sense. Like, when you eat, shouldn't do that.
Because I don't think we're naturally programmed to eat as much as we do now.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
No, we're not.
I mean,
man.
I think that we're only supposed to eat twice a day, maybe once, twice a day. Mm-hmm. So three meals really don't make sense to me.
I wonder where that came about.
I'm sure there was some
doctor. Well, and do you think, I mean, you know, here's another thing. You always hear, what's the most important meal of the day?
Yeah.
Breakfast. Always breakfast. Yeah. Who says that? You know, who came up with that?
I think that was a cereal thing.
Was
but then
it?
You go talk to the doctor, they're like, yeah, don't eat breakfast. You know, most doctors would tell you probably shouldn't be eating breakfast.
I bet it was, too. Breakfast foods, that's the best marketing of any food. Because for a long time, you'd see cereal as healthy.
Yeah.
And, of course, now you know it's nothing but a big empty bowl of calories.
Sugar.
My daughter, by the way, has taken on eating cereal for dinner.
Like
that. You know that guy?
Did somebody say, okay, that was a recent thing, wasn't it?
Guy from Kellogg's, the CEO, said, hey, during these trying times, the whole family can have a bowl of cereal for dinner. It cost you $3 for, you know, everybody to eat. But he got a lot of pushback.
I mean, he's not wrong.
But
who wants to eat cereal for dinner?
My daughter.
But I mean, what kind of cereal does she eat?
She likes Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay. That's what I thought. You know, like a Cheerio or a Honey Nut Cheerio isn't the worst option, but apparently it is a terrible option.
Well, none of them are pretty good. No, they're all sugar.
They're all just bad for you.
But they used to say, you know, cereal commercials would have the big box of cereal there at the end, and they'd say, part of this balanced breakfast. And you'd see bacon, eggs, toast, cereal.
Like an orange.
And some orange milk. Juice. You'd say orange juice.
Yeah.
Orange juice, horrible for you.
Yeah.
Nothing but sugar.
Mm-hmm. Bacon's bad for
bacon's
you.
Bacon's the worst.
The only good thing for you is eggs.
Yeah, eggs are good.
Yeah.
But, of course, we cook them in a lot of butter sometimes.
True.
You know. But, you know, bacon is one of those super processed foods. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot about those. There's, like, bacon, all the processed hams and turkeys and stuff.
The good stuff.
The stuff that
tastes amazing.
Ice cream and chips and hot dogs.
Stuff.
Hot dogs are the worst for because they're not just processed. They're super processed.
Yeah.
So they can stay, you know, good longer and... They said that's really bad for you. So you knock all that stuff
off. I don't want to talk about all this
bad
stuff. I want to talk about the good stuff. You working out, coming straight over here from the gym.
Straight over. That's
your
right.
Your hair looks disheveled. Here's the thing that I like about you. We've been doing this for a while,
yeah.
And you've come in here several times right after the gym. I've never smelled you once.
Thank you.
Never smelled. You've got no BO on you.
I appreciate
When's
that.
When's the last time you've like gotten up and gone... I smell bad.
It's been a while. I don't know what that is, but that's been a while. Usually I like to freshen a little before I come in here, and I don't shower for you.
No, I
never do that. I come back in here, I'll shower because I'm on the way to the pickleball court after this.
Oh, for real? You got somewhere to be. Okay.
I'll be at the pickleball court in 45 minutes.
I appreciate you sliding me in your schedule.
I stack this up. It's just like, if I'm not moving, you
got
to move.
I got you,
I believe
man.
That. Let me ask you this question. This is food related now. I just heard about this the other day, too. There's a new thing at Little Caesars called Crazy Puffs. You should try these.
I've heard about them. They're all the rage right now.
It's like and why somebody didn't come up with this years ago is beyond me. It's like a pizza cupcake is what they're described as.
Yeah.
Sauce on the inside, a little pepperoni if you want cheese over the top, a garlic butter over the top of that.
I feel stupid asking, but have you tried it?
No. Okay. I just heard about it just the other day. No, I haven't tried it.
Yeah, I see them on social media. People are trying them, saying that they're incredible. Now, listen, I like Little Caesars. I haven't had it in a while because there's nowhere, they're not easily accessible to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't even know where I would go to get one. I don't even know where the closest Little Caesars to me is.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you could find them. I mean, we have them. The one thing I liked about Little Caesars years ago was they had a drive-thru. One close to me had a drive-thru.
The $5 pizza saved my life in college.
I think it's as good a pizza. I think Little Caesars is as good as a Domino's or a Pizza Hut.
I don't know about all that.
You don't think so?
I don't know about all that.
I mean, they you know, it's discount pizza.
It's good for what it is. Yes.
When I eat, now I've probably had it 5 times in my life, but I remember thinking, this is pretty good pizza, especially for the price.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's basic, but it's pretty. I think Domino's has made a large improvement over the years. The first time I ever had Domino's, now I'm talking a long time ago, they brought one to Ashboro, North Carolina, where I'm from, when I was about 15.
Yeah.
And my friend Brian Thomas and I were like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And I got it and tasted it and thought, this is not any good.
You know,
I thought this is, because we had Sir Pizza, which is the best of best.
Yeah.
That's local though. And I thought, we have wasted a Friday night getting Domino's. And he said how much he liked it. But I thought, no, you're just lying. You're just saying you like it, even though you don't really like it. You know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
Sometimes you do that.
You get caught up in the hype. You know?
And I'm like, no, you don't really like it. But now, fast forward 30 years, more than actually, I hate to admit, but I think they've made improvements.
I disagree 100%.
You don't think that Domino's?
It's gotten worse.
Do you?
Yes.
I think Domino's.
I still eat it. Don't get me wrong, but when I was a kid, it was so much better.
You think?
Yes, I think they just lather it up with too much garlic.
I like that.
They just kill it with garlic.
They do. I like that though.
Yeah,
that's why I think it's better.
Like I said, it's good. It's cheap. It does the job. It gets me full. But I don't know. I remember it just being so much better when I was a kid.
I did not like their sauce because I was a big fan of the Sir Pizza sauce, and I liked Pizza Hut. I thought Pizza Hut was really good.
Yeah.
But I didn't like Domino's at first, and I think they did a whole marketing thing probably 10 years ago. And they continue to.
Yeah,
you know they're pretty good at that stuff.
Like they really are.
The emergency pizza and that kind of stuff.
Great idea.
Smart, very smart. But I like their pizza better than I did way back in the day.
And they just started delivering to you wherever you're at.
Yeah.
Like you could be at the park.
Yeah.
Like I'm here, deliver me a pizza here. Nobody else does that.
Yeah, I just saw my son the other day at his college at East Carolina, and I was dodging those little robots. They have I don't know if you know about these. They told us about this when we got there, and I see them everywhere. It looks like a tiny little car. It's like the size of, I don't know. A large box.
Okay.
Low to the ground, and you order food, and they're sent out via that. It's a robot. It's a robot that delivers food. They're everywhere.
Is the food? Can you see the food?
No, it's inside, and you can't get into the food unless you have the proper code, which you get when you order. And so you order, you pay on their app or whatever. Uh-huh. It comes right to your dorm room or right out in front of the dorm. You walk, you get it, you punch the code, and there's your pizza or your chicken nuggets.
Have they had any issues with this yet?
Not that I've heard of. And one of them fell down some stairs and killed itself. But I think that was intentional. Yeah. I think it was trying
just
to
kill. An anatomy of a fall situation where he fell, or was it pushed down the stairs?
Who knows?
It's
a big mystery.
We'll never know.
The court case is going on now. But my son has not ordered it yet, and I'm like, why? I would say, but it costs, you know, if you want pizza,
it costs
crazy.
Like $3 or $4
every time. You have, and it's just a robot, and that's where we are now. You know, what a smart idea that is.
That's wild, man.
But anyway.
Of all play, you ECU, I would have never thought they would have that there.
ECU does a pretty...
Are they, like, really up to date with the technology?
They seem to be. Okay. I have to say, they seem to be. And my son, I'm surprised, you know, as little as he likes to do for himself, I'm surprised he hasn't ordered that for himself.
We'll see. One of these days, I'm sure that'll happen.
I told you about his AirPods when he lost those. I don't know if I told you this. He lost his AirPods, and his mother and I refused. He would only have the Apple AirPod replacements, which are $200.
Of course, right?
So we said no to that, and his response was, how am I supposed to walk to class?
I get it.
How can I get there?
I'm an avid user of the AirPod, man, and it's a whole experience. So keeping up with things and things going out of date, I know this really doesn't apply to us, but you're such a person of tradition.
Yes.
I want to know what you think about this. There's been a recent study that said that 3 out of 5 Americans believe that the 9-to-5 workday is outdated, and the younger generation wants to maybe move it up, which is surprising to me.
Like 8-to-4?
7-to-3.
Really?
Yes.
I do think it's outdated. I think so many people work different hours now. You can't really say 9 to 5.
Yeah.
I say that, but yet when I'm driving at 5:15 in the afternoon, it's really, really crowded.
Yeah, it
is. You know, it, like 5:30.
But I know what you mean, because with the amount of people working from home now,
yes.
And there's really no real strict schedule unless you're a banker or you work at some sort of like a location.
Like retail.
Yeah, there's really no...
I agree. I read that too, and I saw young people say, and listen, if I was, well, whatever age, I mean, my druthers would be, let's get it done. Let's get out, get up,
get up,
and go.
Get it done early.
Get up and go. But I say it's outdated, but then there's evidence to me. I mean, it's still rush hour at 8 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 in the morning.
Because
you know?
My thing is with the 9 to 5, the people who do adhere to that strict schedule, it's kind of hard to do anything when you get out of work because everybody else is done. You can't really go to the doctor. You can't go to the dentist.
Oh, you're right.
I really feel like there is some sort of thing that needs to change with it. Like, I think there needs to be like evening dentists.
That would be
evening
nice.
Evening doctors.
That would be nice. The doctors that stayed up and you know, certain days doctors have hours from 7 to 3, certain days 9 to 5, and certain days 11 to 7, you know?
Because in order to do something and be productive, you have to miss work.
You do.
Yeah. Which is very unfortunate.
That's true. Now, I work odd hours.
I was going to say, and I know you know.
I don't have any problem.
Yeah.
But you're right. If you have to go to the dentist, for instance, and you're working a 9 to 5 job, that's tough because they're going to be closed at 5, and it's going to be hard to get in there at like 8:30 and get anything done.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Do you like, you know, Bernie Sanders recently came up with the 4-day work week. He wanted to go to 4 days.
I like the 4-day work
week.
You
do like that.
I like the 10-hour, 4-day work week. Yeah.
In theory, I do as well, but I think our productivity would probably go down. I do like it because I think people, just in their DNA, you know, if we're working 8 hours, which is the traditional work day, we're going to slough off an hour, you know, here and there.
Sure, yeah.
Know? And I think if you work a 10-hour work day, you're going to just slough off a little more. You know what I mean?
True. But at the same time, I do think there are people who work 10-hour work days, but that's not normally part of their schedule.
Oh, I agree.
Like teachers, for example.
Yeah,
They have to put in overtime every day, even though school is from this time to this time.
I think a lot of people, it used to be, I think when Bernie Sanders does it, a lot of people say, oh, you're just, you know, we work harder. You know, everybody work. I've always been like that. Just work. And I know you're a big work.
Yeah, I agree.
You're a work hard person. A 4-day work week would be fantastic.
It would.
For me, I mean, I would love that.
I don't think it would decrease productivity at all, actually. I think it would increase it.
Do you?
Yeah. Like, we have one day more off a week.
Yes.
I think that would make people really want to fight to get that time, get that done.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think much gets done on a weekend, and now you're adding another weekend day, and you're adding a third day to it. I mean, look at our job. Look at what I do for a living.
Yeah.
That's a gift.
Yeah.
You know, if I take Friday off, that would be an absolute gift. But we're odd, you know.
For sure.
Well, so what if it went like retail? You know, if it was only open. Well, that's different because they're going
to
be open.
It is different because they're open 7 days a week anyway.
That's right.
But then again, if you take that into consideration, you would have to, like we were talking about, dentists.
Yeah.
Dentists would be off Friday as well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if much would change. That's a good question.
He's trying to, he says, you know, that we've worked ourselves so much that we have no... Our mental health is suffering and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I used to look at that as like, well, just take your weekend and take it off.
Don't think that's the reason behind
Why does he want to do that, Bernie Sanders?
That's a good question. If you want to cite mental health issues, I think you can cite that back to social media.
Well,
I think that's a big reason for a lot of people's mental health issues.
Yeah. Don't get me started on social media. But he, Bernie Sanders, I think, is saying we work ourselves to death. And for what? Our wages haven't gone up like it should. So why not take a 4-day work week? Yeah, I think he might have even said, I think he's looking at not a 4-day, 40-hour work. He's looking at a 32-hour work week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wants to give the, I believe that's right, that he's trying to, in his words, you know, to give the American worker a break because there's so much AI now and so much technology, we can get done in 32 hours what we used to get done in 40, and therefore take the extra time for yourself and give yourself a mental break. I'm not sure about that. I don't know that.
I don't know about that either.
I don't know if I buy that.
But I really can't take a mental break and be broke at the same time.
Yeah, you're going to be broke. That's right.
That's not really conducive
you,
to me.
You are broke.
I am broke.
And you don't get a mental break.
And I don't get a mental health day either, so no, I'm screwed either way.
You really don't. Yes. That's true.
I get the worst of both worlds.
Yeah, and what are you going to spend time with your parents?
That's exactly.
Just be at home in your
parents'
house.
I do that
house.
Enough as it is.
We're right after Easter here. Okay. I thought our top five today should be like top five apostles, but I guess that's... I'm not going to be able to work it. My wife was suggesting, she's like, maybe you should do like, what was she saying? Like top five Bruce Willis movies. And we were coming into, and I said, I don't know if B.B. Shea knows these things.
I don't know if I could name five Bruce Willis movies. I could. I bet I could.
Well, yeah. I tried that with you with Sylvester Stallone. And you couldn't do it.
Who's a bigger star, Sylvester Stallone or Bruce Willis?
I think Bruce Willis is a
bigger
star.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I think Die Hard is... Have you seen Die Hard?
Yes.
I think that is the quintessential action movie of the 80s.
Okay. I agree. Yeah.
I mean, I go back to it time and again. And in fact, the first three are pretty good.
My favorite Bruce Willis movie is Armageddon.
I've not seen that.
You've never seen Armageddon?
You liked it?
It's 9 hours long.
Yeah.
But it's amazing.
I heard it's cheesy but great.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's one of those like Michael Bay, save the world, we're all going to die. They pull it out of the end movies.
What about Sixth Sense?
I like Sixth Sense. I had a weird experience with Sixth Sense. I watched it way too young, and one of my best friends had like nightmares for years because of it.
It's a great one.
So, but it's a good movie. It's fantastic.
It's the twist at the end is unbelievable. I would rank the Bruce Willis movies, well, now we're doing it. I would rank it as, you know, Die Hard is best and Sixth Sense is second. Although, when he's in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, that's one. That has to be, that's gotta
well,
be
that's
one.
His best
that's
movie,
gotta be
it?
One, right?
But it's such an ensemble.
Yeah,
you
know? I know.
But he's a pretty big
part
of
Pulp
Fiction.
He's got a big role in it. I mean, you know.
I feel like he doesn't, when you think of Pulp Fiction, you don't think of him, but he's a big part. You think
really
of Sam Jackson and... Of course, Travolta.
I think that, you know, I think everybody at some point in the movie has a big catalyst part in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. For some reason, all the optics are focused on them.
Yeah, because they're the two guys at the beginning.
The guys at the end, you know.
I'd say if you said who are the main characters of Pulp Fiction, it would be John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson. But I bet you Willis is in the movie more than Jackson. In fact, I'm pretty sure he is. I'm almost positive he is.
All right, so here's the thing about Pulp Fiction. I've always wondered this. Do you ever think about the Gimp at all?
Too much.
Yeah, was he just, is that what he does? Is that his job?
Yeah, that's all he does.
That's his 10-hour workday?
Yeah, he's just
sitting in that
just
chest.
Just waiting for something like that to
happen.
That's
always bugged me.
Like, well, that's such a out there scene.
And I know it, but at the same time, like, that's that guy. How do you get to that situation in your life?
Well, see, they could make a whole movie on that. If he wanted to do a prequel, he could figure out how the Gimp got to be the
Gimp.
Just
make a movie about the Gimp.
That's a, that's usually I wouldn't like that type of thing in movies. You know how I can't be fanciful or far out. You know, that's why I don't like things like Poor Things that we talked about.
Oh, gotcha.
In our Oscar.
Yeah.
Or really, I like Lord of the Rings and that kind of crap. But that I really stuck with. You know, it was because it was just enough that it's like
it was so weird and bizarre.
I like sort of weird things in movies that are not explained. It's like just a little piece of it, and you're just like, that's odd, you know.
And just keep going.
And not explain. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes it hits me yes, and sometimes no. I know you're a big fan of Birdman, and I am too, but I don't like the ending because it's like a superhero flies, and I didn't like it. I sort of erased that part from my memory. I do that with movies. I'm just like, well, I loved it until the last 5 minutes, so I'm going to pretend
that's
the last.
How people do with, what's the movie? Full Metal Jacket. They completely forget to talk about the second half of the movie.
It's no good.
The first, I disagree.
Do you like the second half?
I don't like it. I don't like it better than the first, but I think it's just as good. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
I really do.
I'm with all those other people. Yeah. The first 45 minutes of that movie, I think, are just masterpiece.
Iconic, dude.
But then the second part, I'm just like, well, what is this? I mean, it's two totally separate.
The actual
movies.
War part. Yeah.
It's totally separate movie, and I didn't like it nearly as much. Mm. I mean, so I do. I always recommend the movie because the first half, when they're training to go. Off to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. My God. See Full Metal Jacket. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Especially the first 40 hour.
Yes. Some of the best like dialogue ever. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's a better Vietnam movie, I think. That's probably my favorite Vietnam movie. Well, I liked Platoon pretty well. Did you like Platoon?
Platoon. I need to see it again. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Apocalypse Now.
I didn't love it when I saw it, but I was only like 16, so it's hard for me to say. But I did not like that. I'd have to really understand it more, you know.
Lot of lore behind that movie.
Oh, yeah. I've seen lore. There's a documentary on Apocalypse
Now. I want to see it.
Hearts of Darkness?
Hearts of Darkness.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I really want to watch
love
that.
Seeing the behind the scenes. I mean, Martin Sheen had a heart attack on that.
Exactly.
I mean, he almost died making the movie because it was such a difficult shoot.
There was like a typhoon.
Yeah.
that like destroyed the set and stuff like that?
I've read the book called Heart of Darkness
by
Joseph Conrad. We had to read it in my AP English class in a senior year, and it is unreadably awful.
It's a bad book.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, it's a classic, but it's so thick you can't understand
it. Oh, I got you. I got you.
And, you know, there, I don't know if you know the classic line, and it's said by Marlon Brando in the movie, the horror. The horror.
Yeah.
That's the line.
Uh-huh.
So we were, I remember this like it was yesterday. We were in senior year of high school, and we're reading like none of us could get through it. So sometimes we read out loud in class, the different students. And so I have to read that line, and I'm the one. So I'm like, blah, 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 the horror, and on and on. And the teacher's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like I just passed by it. And the teacher's
like,
most
iconic line in the
movie, don't just glaze over that. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, the horror. The horror. And that's what the whole, I still don't get
it. I didn't know we were acting.
I don't even get
it.
Well, she's like, you can't just, you know, piss on by it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like saying when somebody, oh, yeah, the guy threw two perfect games in a row and blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's something big. Or, you know, it's like saying, September 11th, they threw planes going to, no. It would be like on September 11th if the news came on and did a little tagline.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, a couple of
planes hit the World Trade Center.
Instead of leading with
and
it.
And the Yankees won last night.
Yeah. The horror, blah, blah, blah.
But
blah,
the
blah.
Big news, Roger Clemens threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's funny.
But we decided not to do top five Bruce Willis movies and not to do top five apostles, although I still think that's open.
Maybe in the future.
Maybe.
I don't think I can name five apostles either.
You know, if you told me to name my top five books of the Bible, I'd have a hard time.
See,
I hate to say that. I'd have a hard time. Not Revelations.
No, it's not.
That.
No.
Not Revelations.
Getting closer and closer to that.
This was B.B. Shea's idea.
Yeah.
B.B. Shea's idea, and a good one, I thought. Top five most underrated bands or musicians of all time.
What was it? Several months ago, we did our top five overrated bands.
These are underrated.
Underrated bands.
Now, I think you will do better at this than I do because I'm such a meat and potatoes musician, music guy. I don't care. I just listen to whatever's on.
Well, I think this was important to kind of pick bands that people heard of.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously, whether or not people think they're underrated, to me, they're underrated.
All right.
You know, you've heard of all these bands.
You
before.
Think so?
I'm not going to pull any fast ones.
Okay.
On you,
all
so.
Right. Okay.
So, for example, my number five, I think most underrated band is Bare Naked Ladies.
Okay. Yeah. Bare Naked. One week. It's been 1 week since you
looked at me. Yeah.
Okay,
so
yeah.
They have an amazing catalog of music.
Yes. That's the only one I know.
They're fantastic. I know, right?
Yeah.
They're fantastic musicians. And I saw them open for Hootie and the Blowfish 4 or 5 years ago.
And you liked them better than Hootie and the Blowfish.
They did a cover of Whole Lotta Love by Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been better than Led Zeppelin. I know that's crazy.
Ooh, boy, that's
and that's going to cause a lot of controversy. It was so good.
We should play that. I should hear that.
I don't even know if it's available.
Yeah.
The lead singer was hitting the Robert Plant notes.
Really?
It was amazing.
Wow.
And that's always stood out to me. And
Is that the lead singer who recently died? No.
Maybe.
Did he die recently?
I don't know.
Might have been.
Member of the Bare Naked Ladies die?
I think it's possible. Yeah. I have to look that up, but I think that within the last few months, I get them confused with other bands. That's very interesting.
They did the lead, the main theme to The Big Bang Theory. So,
yep. Yeah, I know that one.
And
Shrek.
Yes. Amazing. Just a wonderful, wonderful band.
Yeah.
Great, fun, happy songs.
All right. Yeah. I put Dan Fogelberg.
Okay.
Terrific musician. He's dead.
Uh-huh.
He does Same Old Anxiety, which I love at the holidays, but he's got a lot more than that. Go back and research your Dan Fogelberg. Phenomenal, but very quiet.
What's his biggest hit?
Same Old Anxiety.
I don't think I can name him. I don't think I've ever heard a Dan Fogelberg song.
Go back. Listen to Same Old Anxiety. They tell stories. The songs tell stories. And then he's got one... that's fantastic about his father. They tell it's about the death of his father.
Okay.
And it's wonderful. I forget the name of that song, but it's by Dan Fogelberg. And they are just great. Same Old Lang Syne. Surely you've heard.
Send me some Dan Fogelberg.
Same Old Lang Syne is about, it's a true story.
What's the last word you're saying?
Same Old Lang Syne. You know Old Lang Syne, the New Year's Eve song, right?
Lang Syne.
You know, should all acquaintance be forgot?
Okay,
That song is called Auld Lang Syne, okay? A-U-L-D, Lang, L-A-N-G-S-Y-N-E, Auld Lang Syne. You don't know that?
No, never.
Okay, that's what that's called. This song is called Same Auld Lang Syne. And what happens in the song is Dan Fogelberg. This is a true story.
You can't just go through this like the horror. You just run it through words.
No.
I've never even heard this before.
But that you've never heard Auld Lang Syne?
I've heard the song. I didn't know that's what it was called.
It's called
Auld Lang Syne.
Now, wait. There are two songs here. Auld Lang Syne is what you sing on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Should all acquaintance be forgotten?
Yeah.
Same Auld Lang Syne is a Dan Fogelberg song.
Sure.
The story in the song is it's a true story. It's Christmas Eve. He's home visiting his parents. He goes to the store to get something, the only store that's open, and he runs into his girlfriend from college, and they've broken up.
Okay.
And it's been years since he's seen her, and they go to her car and split a six-pack, and it's magical. I mean, beautiful song.
Is it in the same tune as Auld Lang Syne?
No. But the ending, they play... they played a lot of the holidays. Well, they used to play at the holidays. They don't anymore.
Okay.
Absolutely wonderful. Now, it was the 1970s. And golly, I'm going to look up, while you do your next one, I'm going to look up that song about his father, which is fantastic. I forget the rest of my list and just go with Dan Fogelberg.
Dan Fogelberg is the only important one.
Dan Fogelberg is fantastic.
Number four for me, while you look that up, is The Police.
Oh, I love The Police.
Yeah, and let's just say, I think Police is a great band. They get a lot of recognition.
I
don't think they get enough recognition.
Really?
No, I think that for a trio, there's a lot of great trios. Rush, probably the best one ever, but I think they're just as good. I love the style of music that they play.
With all that. Yeah,
very funky, very just good vibes, good energy.
Yeah, fantastic.
Walking on the Moon, I think, is a fantastic song.
They're great.
And I just don't think they get enough credit. Yeah.
Fanfare.
Uh-huh.
The song by Dan Fogelberg about his father is called Leader of the Band.
Leader of the Band.
I want you to listen to... I'm going to send you both songs.
Please do.
I want you to listen to Same Auld Lang Syne and Leader of the Band and know what he's talking about. And especially the Leader of the Band, he's talking about his father.
Okay.
And they're all true stories. And it's really... Or both of those are. I really like Dan Fogelberg. I'll go with the Bangles.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of the Bangles.
Suzanne Hoffs,
Lover. She used to sing Naked, by the way.
She is fine.
Yeah.
She is so good looking.
She recorded Naked, a lot of their songs.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of their songs, I just love them. And I don't hear much about them. It's a female group, of course.
Did they do Walk Like an Egyptian?
They did.
Okay.
And I love Walk Like an Egyptian.
Was that like on their latter half of them like being good? Were they better before then? Or was like...
I love Manic Monday. Is a great song.
Okay.
They do that song. You know, I love their hits. I don't know any deep cuts from anybody.
Okay.
But I love the Bangles. I like a lot of their music. And I just don't hear them or hear about them enough. And then, of course, the lead singer, Susanna Hoffs, went off and did a couple of solo hits, which I also like.
Yeah.
Eternal Flame. You ever heard that song?
Maybe if I heard it. It sounds familiar.
Great. So I'm going to give you some homework.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you some songs.
Okay.
This is good stuff. What's your next?
Number three is Steve Miller Band.
Very good.
Once again, good
for you going back in the archives. You're not giving these. Yeah, good.
I don't think that.
You don't think he gets enough love?
I think he's kind of clowned a little bit. I don't know why. I think people think like he sucks.
Really?
But that I don't know why. I've never heard people like, dude, Steve Miller is dope. That dude's got hits, man.
He does, and he's kind of run of the mill.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, but good, like just listening music.
Yeah,
The Joker, I think, is just classic rock song.
Great song, yeah.
It's an amazing song.
I agree.
Take the Money and Run, Fly Like an Eagle.
Abracadabra. I don't love Abracadabra. That's the one where he ran out.
It's not a great song.
It's not great.
But his greatest hits albums are fantastic. Yeah.
Bob Seger, number three.
Bob Seger.
Love Bob Seger.
Yeah.
Gets a lot of recognition.
Uh-huh.
To my mind, not enough.
I would put them.
I love Bob Seger.
You know, I think there are a list of people. I think we like Beatles, Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin.
Of course.
Like those are the upper echelon of
Eagles.
Bands. Eagles, yeah, definitely.
Tom Petty. These are my favorites.
Tom Petty.
Love Tom Petty.
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, these are like the best of the best.
Yeah.
Metallica for that.
Yeah.
Rock. You know. These are huge. Beatles, obviously.
For sure. Yeah.
I really like Bob Seger. I love people that tell stories with their songs. I used to love, you know, Kenny Rogers. I love because of that. And like Tom Petty tells stories with their songs. I really like.
What's your favorite Bob Seger song?
Probably Against the Wind. I love Against the Wind. And I love, Against the Wind, I just think is fantastic. I love Night Moves.
You sing that in the car by yourself?
Oh, God, yes. Are you kidding?
Belt that out.
Night Moves. I love Night Moves. Now, this is Night Moves is about, you know, teens and coming of age and having sex. And of course, back when I was listening to this song, I was like, one of these days. One of these days. Out by the cornfield where the woods get heavy.
I'm going to get me a Night Move.
My girlfriend was from Canada. We didn't do that.
Yeah.
I had to fly up to Saskatchewan.
Flights aren't cheap, dude.
I couldn't get there when I was 17 or 18. Terrible.
It's too cold.
When you're 17, 18 years old, you can't get there.
Yeah.
Who's your number two?
Number two.
Underrated band.
For me, underrated band, The Black Crowes.
Yeah, I like the Black Crowes. Mm. I only know two of their songs.
I think that...
They are good.
Yeah.
She Talks to Angels.
For a Southern Rock... Twice as Hard, Hard to Handle.
Hard to Handle. Cover,
yeah. I think for a Southern rock band, I think Chris Robinson, the lead singer, is probably one of the most underrated vocalists in rock and roll.
I think other rockers really appreciate him.
Yes.
I think other musicians think they're really good.
Still making music, just put out a new album.
Is that right?
Yep. They were supposed to be opening up for Aerosmith on their final tour. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're still going to or not.
Okay.
But
I think may be a little overrated.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I like them. Get me wrong.
I do too.
But as far as like with the list of other people, I don't know.
I agree.
But yeah, Black Crowes for me, number two. I could listen to them all day.
My number two is Fountains of Wayne. Are you familiar?
Really?
Love them. I love them.
Is it just the one song?
Nope. This is one of the few times ever. Fountains of Wayne, Stacy's mom.
Uh-huh.
You're familiar with that?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I think I was gifted the CD. I think, sent to me as some promotional copy.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, and I like every song on the album.
Really?
Every song
on the album. The same album with Stacy's mom.
That's the only one I know. And nobody knows any of them except for Stacy's mom. And I think every song is phenomenal. I like everything about Fountains of Wayne.
Okay.
Yes. And I like how they got their name. I don't know if you know.
And I don't know that.
I'm a Sopranos fan. And in one episode, Tony Soprano is going to a place to buy, like, it's like they have, bird baths, fountains, plant. It's called Fountains of Wayne.
I did not know that.
That's how they got their name. They
I remember that exact episode.
You see it on the marquee. That's how they got their name, Fountains of Wayne.
No way.
Yes. So I love Fountains of Wayne, but nobody else knows them except me.
Okay.
I'm the only one. Yes.
Oh, I see. I know Stacy's mom. It came out when I was in middle school, I think.
That's all you will know.
It was huge.
Of course it was. God.
One of the best one-hit wonders ever.
Love
I think.
It. Yeah. They should have more hits.
Okay.
Go get the album.
One of their guys just died recently.
Yeah, he did of COVID.
Okay. That's crazy.
During COVID of COVID.
I'll have to listen to that album.
Yes.
I'm interested in that.
Please.
Number one for me, most underrated band, does not get enough love, Steely Dan.
Yeah, they're very good.
I think musically, they are the most enthralling band ever. The two dudes, Fagan and Becker, I think were just
good for you.
Genius,
for not, you know what I thought would happen? You know what I told everybody?
What?
I said, B.B. Shea is going to come in here with a bunch of, the last 3 year bands that I've never heard of. Good for you.
I thought about it.
No,
I did.
Good job.
But at
I
the
like
same
that.
Time, like, no, like Steely Dan is one of those bands that I think is just incredible.
Yes.
And I don't think they get enough credit for what they do musically.
You're right. You're right.
They can span so many different genres and play their instruments so well, and their music is so intricate. The fact that they had to go up on stage every night and play those songs work note for note is so impressive to
me. I cannot argue that at all. What I know of them is very, very good, and you never hear about them.
Yes.
That's very, very good. My number one is the Ramones, because I think they did great work and never got the recognition. Yeah. Do I love them? No. But I like them a lot. You don't like the Ramones?
Why I don't have a problem with the Ramones. Yeah. I feel like you're messing with me.
No. It really
did
is.
You phone it in here?
I'm not a huge fan, but I think but when I hear them, I'm like, well, it's really good.
Yeah.
And I think they were really, really good. And they're probably, I don't think they ever got any like hits, They should have gotten hits.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I think they're probably the. I wrestled between that and I like Pat Benatar. I said Pat Benatar is possible.
Okay.
I'm a big fan. And Linda Ronstadt.
Uh-huh.
I love Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah.
And I don't think she got the recognition. But I say only the Ramones because, I mean, it's a tiny little. They're like niche, music. Mm-hmm. Some people like them.
Yeah.
But I think they probably had a ton of talent and didn't get.
That very, very early punk scene.
Yeah, not that I'm it's not my genre, but I think they didn't get the recognition.
Yeah,
that they
but
deserved.
It's fun. And that style of music is.
Yeah. You're not expecting that from me. Of
no,
course.
100%.
No.
The last thing I expected was for you to say the Ramones.
But I just looked at it as, who's a great band that a lot of people like, but they didn't make the leap, to be like one of these all time greats. So I said the Ramones.
Dan Fogelberg. The Ramones.
Wait till I send you Dan Fogelberg.
Oshfam Lamain. What's the name of the song?
Wait till I send you Leader of the Band and Same Old Lang Syne. Same Old Lang Syne is one of my favorite songs of all time. Now, not just for the holidays. Now, it starts on Christmas Eve, but it shouldn't just be for the holidays. You know what about this episode? This is a total throwaway. This is like, blow it off, whatever, come in here. It's the best episode we've ever done.
I really think so,
too. This is the best episode, and because you brought it with bands that you didn't expect. You know, Steely Dan is a great choice.
Fantastic,
total curveball. I totally threw you a curveball with the Ramones.
You did. Yeah, I did not expect that from you.
No, of course you didn't. You thought I was just messing with you.
I thought,
Usually when you do stuff, it's just like, why is he being so weird? But now, that was good. That was really good.
I enjoyed
that. We should celebrate with some crazy puffs and enjoy. That's what we should do.
I'm going to bring some in next time.
I don't eat crazy puffs. Come on. That's it. That's another Square and the Round. Download it wherever you get your podcast and subscribe. Can you subscribe? I don't know. I don't think you can.
I don't know if you can. I haven't figured that out yet.
We'll do it again next week. Thank you very much.